Rosaline reached up to where it sat on a shelf along the back wall and flipped the switch, causing cobwebs to blow off the blades and fly all over the room. She had to pick them off her cheekbones. "You need dry clothes," August told her.
"I'll air dry,"
Rosaline said, and she stretched out on the cot, making the legs on it bow. "You'll have to come into the house to use the bathroom," August said. "We don't lock the door, so just come on in." Rosaline's eyes were closed. She had already drifted off and was making little puff noises with her mouth. August lowered her voice.
"So, she fell down the steps?"
"Yes, ma'am. She went down head first, caught her foot in the rug at the top of the stairs, the one my mother hooked herself." The secret of a good lie is don't overly explain and throw in one good detail. "Well, Miss Williams, you can start work tomorrow," she said. I stood there wondering who she was talking to. Who was Miss Williams? When I remembered, I was Lily Williams now. That's the other secret to lying. You have to keep your story straight.
"Zach will be away for a week," she was saying. "His family has gone down to Polly's Island to visit his mama's sister."
"If you don't mind me asking, what will I be doing?"
"You'll work with Zach and me, making the honey, doing whatever needs doing. Come on, I'll give you the tour."
We walked back to the large room with all the machines. She led me to a column of white boxes stacked one on top of the other.
"These are called supers," she said, setting one on the floor in front of me and removing the lid.
From the outside, it looked like a regular old drawer pulled out of the dresser, but inside it were frames of honeycomb hung in a neat row. Each frame was filled with honey and sealed over with beeswax. She pointed her finger.
"That's the uncapper over there, where we take the wax off the comb. Then it goes through the wax melter over here."
I followed her, stepping over bits and pieces of honeycomb, which is what they had instead of dust bunnies. She stopped at the big metal tank in the center of the room. "This is the spinner," she said, patting the side like it was a good dog. "Go on up there and look in." I climbed up the two-step ladder and peered over the edge while August flipped a switch and an old motor on the floor sputtered and cranked. The spinner started slowly, gaining speed like the cotton candy machine at the fair until it was sending heavenly smells into the atmosphere.
"It separates out the honey," she said. "Takes out the bad stuff, leaves in the good. I've always thought how nice it would be to have spinners like this for human beings. Just toss them in and let the spinner do its work."
I looked back at her, and she was staring at me with her ginger cake eyes. Was I paranoid to think that when she'd said human beings, what she really meant was me? She turned off the motor, and the humming stopped with a series of ticking sounds. Bending over the brown tube leading from the spinner, she said, "From here, it goes into the baffle tank, then over to the warming pan, and finally into the settling tank. That's the honey gate, where we fill the buckets. You'll get the hang of it." I doubted it. I'd never seen such a complex situation in my life.
"Well, I imagine you'll want to rest up like Rosaline. Supper is at 6. You like sweet potato biscuits? That's May's specialty."
When she left, I lay on the empty cot while rain crashed on the tin roof. I felt like I'd been traveling for weeks, like I'd been dodging lions and tigers on a safari through the jungle, trying to get to the lost diamond city buried in the Congo, which happened to be the theme of the last matinee I'd seen in Sylvan before leaving. I felt that somehow I belonged here. I really did, but I could have been in the Congo for how unfamiliar it felt. Staying in a colored house, with colored women, eating off their dishes, lying on their sheets, it was not something I was against, but I was brand new to it, and my skin had never felt so white to me. T-Ray did not think colored women were smart. Since I want to tell the whole truth, which means the worst parts, I thought they could be smart, but not as smart as me being white. Lying on the cot in the honey house, though, all I could think was, August is so intelligent, so cultured, and I was surprised by this. That's what let me know I had some prejudice buried inside me. When Rosaline woke from her nap, before she had a chance to raise her head off the pillow, I said, "Do you like it here?"
"I guess I do,"
she said, working to get herself to a sitting position.
"So far."
"Well, I like it too," I said, "so I don't want you saying anything to mess it up, okay?" She crossed her arms over her belly and frowned.
"Like what?"
"Don't say anything about the Black Mary picture I got in my bag, okay? And don't mention my mother." She reached up and started twisting some of her loose braids back together.
"Now, how come you want to keep that a secret?"
I hadn't had time to sort out my reasons. I wanted to say, because I just want to be normal for a little while. Not a refugee girl looking for her mother, but a regular girl paying a summer visit to Tiburon, South Carolina. I want time to win August over, so she won't send me back when she finds out what I've done. And those things were true. But even as they crossed my mind, I knew they didn't completely explain why talking to August about my mother made me so uneasy. I went over and began helping Rosaline with her braids. My hands, I noticed, were shaking a little. "Just tell me you aren't going to say anything," I said.
"It's your secret,"
she said.
"You do what you want with it."